So the other day I took a stroll in downtown Scranton.
Okay.
And it was Friday night, and it was actually this Friday. And my buddy Charlie, I hit him up. I said, yo, but like, what are you doing, bro? He goes, nothing. I'm like, you want to go outside, you know, be friends, just take a walk? He's like, yeah, for sure. I'm like, cool. So, you know, I go outside. I'm talking to Mary, you know, and we just go on this stroll all the way down the block. And I'm like, dude, where are we going? He's like, wherever the world takes us. I was like, okay, cool. I was like, why don't we just make this right over here, go back on the road? He's like, come on, man, let's just park. Let's just go through the parking lot. You know, like, cutting through parking lots? I'm like, not really, you know? So he's like, come on, let's just park. Let's just walk through this parking lot. I'm like, cool. Mm-hmm. Then he's like, let's make a right. And we make a right. And we turn into this alleyway. And I swear to God, I was in Gotham City. It was fucking, like, it was terrifying. On a for real. It went from Scranton, Pennsylvania to Gotham City in a matter of this alleyway. And it was behind, like, restaurants. I know, right? Coming out of left field.
In Scranton.
Yeah, it was weird.
I would like to pass this area one day.
Oh, yeah, during the daytime. I still haven't visited. It was the first time that he's ever been down this alleyway. First time I've ever been down this alleyway. Mm-hmm. I was like, dude, where are we right now? Because this seems like it is a horror movie. Like, this is just, like, pitch black. There's, like, people out back. There was two people out back. Smoking that work at the restaurant, right? Mm. And we're just walking through. I'm like, even the fire escapes look wow. like there.
Was just, there like some smoke, yeah, some perfect amount of yeah. smoke going around?
And I just got done talking to Mary Jane. So like, I'm like bugging out. I'm like, yo, dude. Oh, shit. I'm like, this shit's fucked up. and as we're walking, I'm like, this is, and I'm just like walking and I'm looking. And I'm like, this is really scary. Oh, that's a there's a person right there. Oh. I almost kicked a person who was just sitting in the pitch black, just like on the ledge as a stoop kid. I'm like, what is going on here?
That was someone important.
I don't know.
In disguise.
Maybe it was Batman.
It was Batman, all right. Or the Joker. Who knows?
Seriously, Scranton turned into Gotham City in a matter of a right turn, and it was absolutely terrifying.
That's pretty wild.
That's my Scranton story of the week. And with that being said, welcome everyone to the Middleman Podcast. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez, and I'm sitting here with the real Trendella.
It is I.
What it do? What it do?
The trendiest.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. You know, it's been a while. We've been planning on having this show for quite some time now. And, you know, it never happened, but I'm happy we're here.
Yeah.
I'm happy we're here.
Yeah, it's been like 2 years planned, I think.
Yeah, in the making, you know,
something
in the making.
Like that? Yeah.
And it's okay, you know, stuff like that happens. Like, mm-hmm. I've talked to people and, you know, we'll like double back around. We'll try to book the show and it just doesn't happen. So it's okay. As long as there's open communication, you know, from both parties, I don't mind it. You know, let's figure it out. So, you know, once again, thank you for being here. You are a phenomenal person. You are a killer at your craft. You and I went to school together. And, you know, here we are. Actually, on a for real, we kind of actually like, what was it, sixth, seventh grade riding bicycles type shit?
Sixth grade.
Yeah.
Like sixth grade, we were outside straight from the bus. Like, we didn't even want to go home. We were just like, yeah, well, we'll just get off at each other's bus stop and then just like hang out.
That was
still
illegal.
And just not go home.
Good times.
That was pretty cool. Good times for sure. We kind of grew up together. Like once I moved out here, like you were one of those people that I was like around automatically.
We had a lot of mutual friends. Shout out to those people who were in that inner circle. You know, a few of them I still speak to. A few of them I just see them taking their own journey. Some of them have kids. Some of them are off in college playing ball. And it's crazy. It's like, wow. You know, I'm doing podcasting and you're over here giving people tattoos.
Yeah.
Like...
That was just that little thing that you just said just made me like, whoa,
right?
Here we are. I would have never thought I even gave you tattoos just recently. And now we're going to be here talking about it.
Big shout out. You know, appreciate the most recent work that we've done. The Eric Bussard. This is actually your first time seeing it, you know, seeing it since the recovery process has been done in person, you know, so rate it. How do you think you did?
It looks great. You know, as an artist all around, I would say, of course, you always want to just be the best and you want everything to be as perfect as you can be. So, like, I just want to be better than yesterday, basically. So, like, I would give it a solid, but I'm really happy about it. I would give it a solid, like a 9, 9.5 out of 10.
A 9.5 out of 10. I like that.
I'm really happy about that.
I love it as well. I think you did a fantastic job at just, you know, embodying and capturing all the cracks within this character, mm-hmm. Brick. You know, we've talked about him on the show, but, you know, to actually have you here, the person who actually did it, is pretty stellar. You know, I've always talked about trying to get a tattoo artist to come on the show, and if it's to be you, you know, a friend, you know, someone who, yeah, it's awesome. It's really dope, you know, so I'm really happy. And we have a lot of plans to continue this sleeve. You know, as I mentioned, the next one that I was like, we were talking about Spider-Man and Wolverine for a while, right?
Yes. The one from Brick, right?
Spider-Man Brick, yes. And Wolverine Brick are going to be the next two.
You really liked the Wolverine one, and I really wanted to do the Spider-Man one.
So exactly.
Like, those are like have to be next for sure.
Well, you know what? We're going to just throw a little curveball in there, and I want to do that one next. You know, the blue brick, the blue brick, and then the crumble brick. What's that?
We'll do all three.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, in due time. Because the biggest thing for me with tattooing is like, it stops my workout process. And you know, like, yeah, because you know, I want to let it heal properly, 100%. Like, you know, the healing process, especially for color tattoos, I've noticed are a lot harsher than a black tattoo for me. You know, it's just, I get very nervous to have the color leave, like extremely nervous.
Like from sweat and stuff?
Yeah, from sweat, from working out, just being a grunt. And girl, I sweat, like it's bad.
Oh, okay. Like, it might affect it, but it might not, unless you're like in the gym, like literally all day for like more than an hour or two.
The steam room is what does it for me.
Mm.
Like I'll be
See,
in
I have
there,
to
like,
look into that. I never really, maybe like once or twice I've had someone mention that they use the steam room and stuff, but like I think at the end of the day they were like okay, and we kind of suggested that they'll be fine, but I don't know, I guess we'll maybe have to test it out for like one of them or something, mm-hmm. or like something along the future, like along those lines, we'll figure it out.
That's my thing, and that's why I'm like I gotta like space them out, because I feel like if I did them all in one go, you know, I'd be out of commission for a while. And I don't want to be out of commission. I like to try to stay healthy as long as I can, you know.
Yeah,
as long as I can. But shout out to you. Shout out to you being a tattoo artist at Inkstained Studios right there in Carriage Square.
Yep.
So reminiscent, you know, just like if you grew up in that area, that is like a big staple to the Toby Hanna area. Yeah. Carriage Square, you know, there's been a lot of things going on there. The Chinese shop has stayed alive. The Nina's Pizza has stayed alive. The Family Dollar has stayed alive. And now Inkstained Studios is staying alive.
Oh, yeah.
Very much so.
Yes, we're the new one that's going to be, you know, there standing strong for a long time. I believe so, for sure.
Longevity. Excuse me, Mike. You have something to say?
There's a lot of bad things there too, right?
Yeah. We got to point out the bad. You know, Never mind. Yeah, actually, Rite Aid just closed there.
I peeped
that. You know, like, where am I supposed to get my medicine from now? It's really bad.
I didn't know Rite Aid closed.
Yeah, it literally just closed. It was a couple Rite Aids that actually closed down.
Really?
Like in the area or like in a couple of states.
That's crazy.
I don't know what's taking over. I forgot.
Hmm.
Everything's going downhill.
CVS is taking over.
CVS, yeah.
And then the errands too, like the moving errands, furniture spot.
Yeah, someone tried to put something there and it didn't really last too long, so... I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So shout out to Inkstained Studio. Shout out to the man who runs the show, Ty, correct?
Yes, Inkstained Ty. That's the man right there. He helped open up a lot of shops in that plaza after he opened up the tattoo shop. And now he has this smoothie bar that he opened up. And that's going pretty successful. You've made a couple visits recently. Every time you come, I always miss you. But that's been really well, like really doing really well.
Respect to him, you know, it's such a fantastic shop. And your role in that shop, if you look on the social media, it says head tattoo artist. And is that, how'd you gain that accolade? That's such a pretty big accolade. I would say you're second to the master, the owner?
I would believe so, yes. Okay. That's kind of like the owner's like right-hand man. I pretty much was there from like, day one, I was like the first, you know, person, the first apprentice, the first receptionist, the first person to, I guess, super flourish in the way that he wanted one of his artists to be. So, you know, I ended up just being, you know, the head artist there. I work long hours if I have to, like I'm in there just as much as he is. Like we'd be prepared to stay there for like hours upon hours. So that's why, you know, I guess I gained that title.
Good for you. Good for you. But before, you know, we get into all of that and you, you know, growing into the apprentice, I just want to know your backstory because, you know, I know you and I went to high school together and you've always been great with art. You know, you've always been creative. I've even talked to my older brother and he's like, nah, yeah, that makes sense because she's always been really good at art. He even said that, you know, so shout out Chris.
Shout out Chris.
You know, but so you were doing art and then like, when did you like find a calling or maybe have the general thought idea to become a tattoo artist?
So apparently I used to say to our fellow schoolmates that I wanted to be a tattoo artist from as early as like eighth grade. But like, I didn't really think that it was something that was realistic. It was like one of those things, like, let's say you want to be on a TV show. That's like a little hard to do, right? So it's like, I figured it was just unrealistic of me to have that kind of dream, even though that was a dream of mine. I just feel like, you know, it was a good way financially and artistically to like evolve and like leave my mark in the world, you know, forever when the time that I go, you know, comes. But yeah, that's the way I always saw it. And I actually didn't remember that I had those dreams so early on because of how unrealistic I thought that it was. Mm-hmm. So actually, when we were in seniors, I was a part of the yearbook club. And we had a little segment, like, and I had to do this one little page where it was like, you know, go around the school and ask people, like, what is your actual, like, you know, number one dream, like, dream thing to do as a career if you could. And, like, I put myself on the page because I was like, F that, I'm going to be on the page. I have a dream, too. So, yeah, I put, like, my dream is to become, like, a tattoo artist. And I completely didn't remember doing that at all, like until like I would say the beginning of this year, maybe I finally got like a message from someone and they were like, look, I was looking through the yearbook and I found this is so crazy. And I was like, what? Like, I don't even remember putting that in the yearbook.
Yeah,
you know. So I've definitely always wanted to do it but completely forgot about it. I went to school actually for like two semesters. I don't know what I thought I was doing, like trying to become a nurse. That's not really my thing. I realized needles, it. So. I know, right? You would think so. You know, and actually needles scare me. I don't like when they like go through the whole like piercings and all that stuff. Uh-huh. I can't do that. But, you know, with tattooing, it's just grazing the surface. So I'm cool with that. But yeah, I tried to do nursing. I found out that wasn't for me. Once they told me what kind of classes that I was going to be taking, and they also told me how competitive it was. So once they told me that, I was like, oh, no, I got to change my major to fine art or something, and I'll just figure it out. And I have a grandfather who's like very old school. Shout out to Humberto. That's my grandpapa. But he's very old fashioned, very old school. You know how it is. And you know, he's a very successful older man. So I didn't know what I wanted to do. Like, I was just like, maybe I could be an art teacher, like the iconic Miss Milabidi. Like,
you know? She's super iconic.
Yeah. Super duper iconic. Shout out to her. Like, maybe I could be like her, you know, one day. And I told my grandpa that, and he was like, well, you know, teachers in general just don't really get paid what they deserve. So I was like, okay, grandpa. All right, cool. So then I was like, well, what about tattooing? Like, they make a lot of money. Like, they make like doctor kind of money if that's really like, you know, if they really work hard for it.
Yeah.
And I'm like 17 at the time thinking about these things. And he was like, well, you know, that sounds cool and all, but like, you know, how is that really going to happen? And also by the time you think about becoming a tattoo artist, robots are going to take over and like, they're kind of screwed. So I was like, damn, grandpa,
wow.
I can't have nothing. So, you know, I started working regular jobs and then this kind of came about, you know, later on, I think in like 2020 during COVID, this came to be.
I think it's really cool that it sounds like the seed has just been planted throughout the universe, you know, by you. And other people's have like records of you saying that this is something that you want to do. And, you know, subconsciously you just went about your life, not even thinking about it.
Yeah.
And now here you are in the thick of it.
No, like, literally.
Like, so I think that's really, really cool for that to kind of just like, the universe has always been on your side, and that's what you wanted to do. And it is, as you said, a dream, right? But it sounds like when you put the work in, obviously, you can get good at anything that you put your mind to. Mm-hmm. Because in a sense, like, you're very much so, you're a tradesman on a for real. You know, you have a trade. You mm-hmm. know, you have a trade. You can take it wherever you want. Same thing for me as far as work goes. You know, once you learn it and you get good at it, you can just excel and go wherever you want with this type of craft. You know, one thing that I thought was pretty interesting during our tattoo session was that, you know, when you mentioned to another tattoo shop in the area that you had this dream of becoming a tattoo artist.
Yeah.
They kind of, you know, trolled you and, you know, they kind of basically said like, oh, another student of West who wants to become a tattoo artist. Yeah. Okay. Psh. You know, like where did that come from? First of all, because
I wish I knew where that came from, because I was just trying to get this tattoo, actually, this one right here. And I was trying to get, you know, schedule an appointment for my best friend as well at the time, also for the side of her neck. And, you know, I used to go there frequently to get tattoos done. And, you know, it's been certain points where they take pictures of my work and stuff. And I'm like so honored, because I'm like, these are like famous people to me, you know, like, you're taking pictures of my work. You must really like and enjoy it. Or, you know, I never thought like, what are you doing with my stuff? But, you know, it is what it is. It's there. I was super content all the time going there. Then I started noticing that it was like a shift in energies, I guess, depending on the day. You know, some people are like that, like, you know, tattoo artists. Sometimes you're an asshole and sometimes you're not. Sometimes, you know, no matter what you do, like, people are going to piss you off. And like, it all depends on you to like, how you handle that, how you handle yourself and your energy. If it really gets to you, you're going to let it bother you. So I guess that person was that kind of person. He just so happened to be the shop owner as well. Mm-hmm. He owns like two shops. And I guess it was a bad day for him. I walked in, tried to make the appointment, and they were basically like, yeah, he was like, no, we're not going to do that. Like, we're not going to give you that. You know, like, what do you plan on doing in the future? And I'm like, I tell you guys all the time, I just want to be in some type of field for art. Like, you know, I don't know exactly what, but, you know, that's pretty much it. And he says, you know, what do you want to be? And I was just like, well, you know, it doesn't really matter, because I'm going to be a tattoo artist just like you. Uh-huh. You know, now I'm like manifesting it in his face.
Yes.
So just so, you know, to see what kind of reaction he gives me. But he was like, you know, oh, you mean like all of West? And I was like, what are you saying? Like, what do you mean by that? Like, where did that even come from? So
makes no sense.
It literally made no sense. I didn't hear of anyone doing tattoos at the time. Like, this was like before I knew already that I was going to start the apprenticeship. But I was like, you know, it's cool. So once I left that day, I was just like, I'll see you guys at the convention. Don't worry.
Michael, was your class known for having a lot of people who wanted to be a tattoo artist or no? I don't think so either. I'm just trying to figure out where the stigmatism came from.
I have no idea. And this was specifically targeted towards our school, like the West High School. I was like, wow. Okay.
I don't know, but my girlfriend went to West and she wants to become a tattoo artist. That's literally the only person I would know.
Okay, no, that's what I'm saying. There's one in two, maybe I think 4 to 5 is acceptable. Now, if you're saying the whole West community wants to become tattoo artists, then it'd be like 50 people.
Right.
And some, you know, that just went out of school and was like, this is what I'm going to do. So for them to say that, I'm like, that's just outlandish.
It was pretty shitty. Because, yeah, excuse my language, but like, and also, I'm not even in high school at that time. Mm-hmm. We're talking about 2020. Like, it's already been 4 years since I graduated.
Yeah.
And you're like bringing up my high school. Like, you know, it was weird.
And so, I didn't want to do that tattoo. Like, you're a youngin'. It's like, yo, I'm kind of old enough to make my own decision. So
no,
like,
literally.
Hook me up.
Even my friend, they denied hers too. And you know, she works with like marijuana.
Yeah.
So like, everyone there has tattoos and doesn't really care, and they wouldn't care if she got her tattoos, and they denied her too. There was actually a policeman in there, and he was looking at me like, you know, sweetheart, when you get like me, you can Then you can think about getting you some neck tattoos.
The hell does that even mean?
Okay. He was like in full head to toe uniform. And I was just like, where did you come from? Like waiting for his appointment in his uniform. Like, what are you doing today? Like, I don't know.
Shouldn't you be protecting and serving instead of getting tattoos,
no,
sir?
Literally. Like, and I was the only woman in there at the time. Like, there were no one waiting except that cop. And like, it was just a whole bunch of men. And like, then like all the men just started coming from their stations, like from the back. And he was like, well, I'm not going to tattoo you, and I'm not going to have any of my men tattoo. And I was like, it's okay. I already like got that part, you know, I'm going to take it somewhere else. And
chill out, Stan.
Yeah.
Chill out.
Come on, man.
Chill out. So you said at that point, you know, you had already confirmed that you were going to be starting an apprenticeship. You know, who was your mentor? Talk me through the apprenticeship. And, you know, one thing you added onto that backstory was that all these men came around and, you know, they were like, yeah, we're not doing this. And I want to know if there's like any, you know, stigmatisms as far as like being a woman in the tattoo industry that you've dealt with, or even just in an apprenticeship program. You know, stuff like that. So first, who was your mentor and talk me through that program?
So during the apprenticeship, my mentor was Ty. His name's Tyrone. Shout out to that guy. Love that guy. He's became family to me over the last 3 years and some change. The apprenticeship was, not that I know or have been to other shops, but like just hearing about, you know, other places and apprenticeships throughout, like after maybe a year and a half or two of me being in the shop and being an actual artist, I've heard like different stories about, you know, their mentors and like things like that. And like, I'm just forever grateful, and I forever will be, because I know he's a great mentor, and he taught me throughout the apprenticeship, you know, how to stay positive, you know, how to have confidence in yourself, how to, you know, make sure that you're prepared at all times for anything that might come, you know, especially me as a woman, you know, and he's a man telling me this, like, you know, there's nothing but women at the time kind of like working there. So it's me and Kate, and we also like, you know, went to school with her. And you know, it's always been in rotation, kind of like women in there. So for him to, you know, have so much patience and like knowledge for like young women like us, it was very like helpful. And I really respect him for that. So that was like pretty much what he taught us, to learn how to tattoo melanated skin, you know, those kinds of things. You know, how to be a true artist. You know, like before.
Did he encourage you to read any like books? Or?
Yeah, okay. He would actually bring in those books himself, like for us to like look through like art, like actual real art, you know, and things like that. So for that, I really appreciate that guy.
It like widened your horizons. How long was this apprenticeship program until like what were the sum of like, is there a tier level, or are there certain markers that you have to hit in order to become, let's say, a journeyman? Is it, what's the terminology after your apprenticeship is over? What do they use?
No, you're just like a tattoo artist now.
Okay, all right, you're legit.
Yeah. You're legit, you made it.
Heard that.
So what are like some kind of like things, like different levels?
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of just do like different steps. You want to draw like, you know, different things and different styles and tattoo in the tattoo world. Like you'll start off with this style, you know, of traditional tattoos, and then you'll make your way all the way up to like realistic tattoos. So you want to make sure that you know how to draw and that you know what you're doing. And then I guess you'll earn your stripes that way if you just follow everything.
So how well did your background in art translate to tattooing?
Man, so well. Like, I remember he told me, if you can paint, then like tattooing will be super easy for you. Like, at least it'll come to you a little bit more naturally than somebody who can, you know, not draw, of course, or just like draws. Cause, you know, with me, I like to do color work. So when you're like, you know, doing color work and stuff, it kind of helps because it transitions from painting to like that. So it kind of makes more sense, at least for me, with color work and tattoos. So yeah, that really, really helped me out.
What are some of the methods that he, you know, showed you guys to just stay positive? Because like one of the things, you know, in an apprenticeship program like that, I feel like there could be a lot of frustration, you know, especially with line work or, as you just said, shading, stuff like that. You know, how were some of the ways that you contained, like kept yourself centered, balanced? And I'm reading this book right now. It's called Stillness, The Art of Stillness. Mm. So let's just use it in context, to be still, you know, with all the outside noise going on, you know, there's a lot of frustration maybe inside and outside. How did you find yourself being still?
He definitely helped with that. You know, he'll give his recommendations and things like that. But I think that eventually along the lines, I mean, from the start, he kind of told us to just have confidence in yourself, you know, have patience with yourself. Like, you're not going to get it right away. Like, you need to give yourself some grace, some patience, you know, things like that. So that eventually you'll find what you do and you don't like. You'll find how you're going to get through this session. Like, you'll find out your peace and your self-inspiration and motivation. I saw this thing recently online. This woman saying, like, you don't want to be motivated. You want to be inspired, you know? So, and okay. She like went on a rant about that. So like, I tend not to say like motivated anymore. Like, oh, I need to be motivated, need to be inspired. So that's what I kind of,
what's the difference between the two?
She kind of like went off. Like, okay. I don't know. It's like, I have short-term memory loss. So that's why I take notes too.
So do I. Don't worry.
but she basically, there is a difference. Inspiration is like kind of like more natural, more given, I guess. Okay. And like motivation is something that you're like kind of asking for or looking for, I guess. Mm. She put it in better terms and better words.
I'm picking up what you're putting down now.
But it's, I definitely understood what she said as well. So I'm going to find the video and I'm going to send it to you because that was a really good like video.
I like when people make those arguments, you know, this and that. And, I think I could see where she's coming from. You know, I'm not one of, I don't like motivational speakers. I'm not one who likes motivational speakers.
I don't hate motivational speakers, but I can't.
You know, motivational speakers, why this podcast started? Like, legit. Like,
ironically.
Yeah, ironic. So the whole podcast thing started because of like me ranting about Gary Vee. If you guys like Gary Vee, I'm happy for you. Gary Vee.
Sounds familiar.
He's like global on Instagram with his motivational speeches and his thoughts and his ideologies. But yeah, it was like the first one was like, when I saw it, I ranted about it. I was like, wake up. Be grateful you woke up this morning. You know, and I was like, I know that motherfucker. You know,
no, already, literally, like, we get it.
But don't get me wrong. Someone else might need that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Someone else might need that. You know, in my retrospect, I'm like, I don't really. Yeah. I didn't need that. You know what I mean? I'd rather just. So I started a little rant about him. And yeah, here we are. Here we are a few years later.
Yeah.
Okay. So coloring tattoos, right? Coloring tattoos. I was looking at your work, you know, and I noticed that a lot of your clients do like to incorporate color. In particular, one of the colors that comes out often is the color red. Is it color red? Have you noticed a pattern in that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Why do you think that is?
Your basic colors that you're going to see when tattooing is black and red. Like with everyone. Like it kind of works for all skin tones. It's kind of like one of those colors that kind of like, you know, a darker person can get, a lighter person can get. Like literally anybody can get that color. Because if you think about it, like blues, they're not going to heal as good. You know, you might not see it because of that color. I can get really technical about that. But
Please do.
like greens, you know, like undertones, people's undertones, like even like people that are like us or like lighter, it still might not work for them. So that's like, you know, in terms of the other colors. But mainly red is just that like safe zone too. Like you want to spice something up and like also want to be a little bit on the safe side and be like, I got some color done. Like, what do you got? You definitely go for red, like everyone does.
Gotcha. I appreciate the work. I was looking at your work.
Yeah. And it's very vibrant, too, on the skin. Like, it's very fun to, like, pack those colors. I mean,
You know, we got some red. We got the yellow. Yellow seemed like it was a little bit of a difficult one to retain, you know. Mm-hmm. But I even with this tattoo that you did here, you added, you know, color of white, you know. And I didn't think, I was like, oh, I didn't think she would actually use white. But I saw why you did because of the gloves.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. So it's actually really, really cool to try to just understand that whole balance, you know, with when, you know, people come to you with an idea, a thought, a color design, do you have to, or do you try to disclose the information that the color may be a little bit difficult to, you know, I guess, you know, shine based off their pigment?
I definitely do. I let them know, you know, we can, there's other options, you know, we can, if you're not too sure, or like, you know, we all have different areas of our body, are different color, different shades.
Yeah.
Like when you get a tan, you might have a whole sock mark, or like, you know, this might be super dark and this might be super light. But it's kind of one of those things with everyone. Like I'll try to say, you know, maybe that placement is not the best for this type of color. Either it's not going to look right as a design as a whole, or the color might not stay, you know, because color is a little difficult to pack in there, and like, you know, for longevity purposes, it's sometimes it's like the hardest thing to do, and covering black too. So yeah, I'll make other suggestions. You know, some people will come to me and be like, yeah, like this other shop denied me because like they said I'm too dark for like, you know, this color. Wow. And I've literally had people come to me telling me that and are lighter than me. And I'm like, that's fucked up.
That must be heartbreaking to hear, though.
That's
like, shit.
Up. I'd
be like,
yeah, that's it hurts my chest.
Yeah.
It really hurts my chest. Because, like I said, my mentor, he made sure that we knew how to tattoo all kinds of skin, all skin colors. Like, he just made sure that we knew how to do that. So, like, I really take pride in doing stuff like that. And I do have a lot of clients from all different skin colors. And, like, I love it. but, yeah, that's something that, like, really gets to me. Because I'm like, you didn't even attempt to, like, try and tattoo that person and even see if that color would hold. You just straight up was like, I don't even want to try. They're a little bit darker than me. So like, you could go somewhere else. I don't even care about you. So that kind of upsets me. Some things that I recommend also, like other options in terms of color. There's this thing called a color swatch. I don't know if you've ever heard about that. It's kind of like, you know, when women get makeup.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. And like they do like those little.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, it's kind of like that, but with a tattoo.
Oh.
So, you know, the colors of the rainbow, it can literally be something as simple as like little dots, like little circles of each color. And it's just a color swatch just to see how those colors are going to heal on you before you get an actual tattoo. I think it's pretty cool too. I still haven't done it. I've recommended it a couple times, but then, you know, the day of, or like once we get to my appointment, I'm kind of like, or if I see them in person, I'm like, oh yeah, no, that works. Like, you know, that works.
What's the second term you're saying? Color?
Color swatch.
Swash. Swatch.
Swatch. Like watch, but like, swatch.
That's interesting. That is interesting. Never heard that term. Mm-hmm. Color swatch. That's a term of the day, word of the day. And with that being said, everyone, thank you for watching the Middleman Podcast. Don't forget, like, comment, subscribe. You know, that's what we do. New episode every week. We got the real Trendella. Make sure you follow her at Trendella Tattoos. And let's just get into it. Let's talk about some of your art. I want to just overlay it because there are a few that I picked that are some of my personal favorites.
Okay.
And I want to hear some of your personal favorites. Okay. Who should go first?
One of my favorites, like in general.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about like maybe top three, top four.
Okay, so
top five.
All right, I'll start it off.
Let's hear it.
I'll start it off. Man, I'm gonna say like something that has to do with tattooing, but it's not a tattoo.
Okay,
and it's also me all at the same time. So I'm gonna put it out there. It's like my heart collection. So that's what I call it. It's my little name for it. It's like lowercase h and then like capital A-R-T because it's like heart. Mm-hmm. You know, it's art. But it's basically a whole bunch of different color hearts. I think it's six of them. So it's like we got a red one, a blue one, a pink one, a golden one, a purple one, and I don't know what other color I missed, but you get the gist.
I gotcha.
They all have like different emotions. And that's also what I've applied to my business card for tattooing. Like, that's what I give people, a free piece of art when I give out my business cards. So that's where you'll be able to see all of those six hearts. So mm-hmm. that's kind of like all of my emotions, you know, how I feel. And funny thing is, when I made those, they're like super tiny in real life. They were made with Posca pens. I don't know if you've heard of those.
No, I haven't.
They kind of, our friend Charles.
Okay.
Charles Love. Okay. He makes, he used to use them on his clothing when he would draw on clothing. So that's just like a little insight on that. But yeah, that's what I used. And I was in the middle of an argument when I actually made those hearts. So I guess I was just going through a whole bunch of emotions and those just came about. And I actually have tattooed those now that I think about it. Three of them. Three out of the six hearts I've tattooed. I personally want all of them on me, but I'm trying to find that one artist. You know, mentor, if you're hearing this, I trust you, but I don't know if I want you to do it. But yeah, to tattoo all of them on me. So that's definitely something that's
the heart collection. I like that.
The heart collection. I have big plans for that too. That's why I mentioned it first. Because I want to make like stuff.
Yeah,
like
you can
that.
Make a whole brand out of that.
Yeah, I already have. I already got the plans up here for a while now. So
even in if you go to the shop, you know, you'll see you have artwork of it displayed, and as you said on the business yep. card. So yeah, I've seen it. I know it. And if you know the Trendella, you know about the hearts.
Oh
so,
yes.
So that's cool. You know, that's like. What's the word I'm looking for? Like an homage to yourself?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Basically.
Cigna.
Yeah. It's your Cigna. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to start a lot for me.
Okay.
I feel like. And it's going to, you know.
So we have that one. What's next?
All right. Let's bring maybe a tattoo.
Yeah.
That's always one of the hard questions.
Right.
Like, yeah. I just came from somewhere with a bunch of tattoo artists. And that was like one of the hardest like questions that we had to answer. I would say, an anime piece that I did on my older brother in California. That's one of my top favorites. I know that I'm missing.
Is it the one with
couple.
The eyes?
It's the one with the eyes. So
on the forearm?
Yes.
Yo, that was in my top.
On the forearm.
That was in my top.
That's
that
one
was in
of
my
those.
Top. That one,
thanks, man.
We're going to put it, you know, maybe full screen, overlay, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That one, guys, that one is insane. You did that on your brother? That's crazy.
Yeah, like, my brother. That was his Christmas gift from me. Basically.
Absolutely beautiful. You know, the detail on that is stunning. It's crazy. Like, I was like,
thanks.
I wrote, I think 4 to 5 that I liked. That I was like, yo, these are like top of the line. These are like some of my personal favorites.
Okay.
And that was definitely one of them because those eyes are just like, if you watch anime, shout out Ethan Ace Ron. He's been on the show. And I remember he did like a collage of just eyes of anime, you know, and it's just like, they really do put a lot of detail into those characters' eyes. And you did a fantastic job at bringing that detail and putting it on someone's skin. And, you know, same thing with this, you know, same thing with these brick tattoos. You know, a lot of people, they love the detail. Like you captured a photo where it was a chainsaw and an actual photo behind it. And it's like, it's like copy paste.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, it's really, really good. So you're, your attention to detail is one of the finest, you know. And
thank you.
I think it's amazing. So a few of the favorites that I wrote down. The one that really like put the tattooing on a mat for me is the Joker.
Oh,
the Joker piece.
Yes.
Okay. The Joker piece, the tattoo.
Yeah.
Ironically, the voice overlay that you had over that, like, where the Joker's talking, he's like, I'm not going to kill
you.
That used to be my ringtone for a while.
No.
Yeah, that was like my ringtone for a while. So like when I saw that and then, you know, the reel and the attention to detail, I was like, whoa. I'm like, that is insane. Like,
wow. That's so cool. I literally went on YouTube and screen recorded the sound at that moment just for that. And it kind of like just meshed well together. A lot of people really love that one. Like, that's really one of those like top ones that actually probably is the top one that when people come or like they come from like states away or something and they're like, we saw your Joker tattoo and just knew we had to come and see you. And I was like, oh, this Joker tattoo is really like, I put it on Pinterest actually. And I didn't know that, you know, people were actually seeing it on Pinterest. So they would type in Joker and that would be like one of those at the top.
Ooh.
Actually. Someone recently, one of my clients, they're a couple. They came from New Jersey. They come every now and then. They have like a house up here in Pennsylvania. And they're the ones that told me the last time they came, they were like, yeah, that's how we found you. the last time. We're like, oh, that's our tattoo artist. Like, we typed in Joker. I did a little Batman. I think it was Batarang, if I'm saying it right. That's how it was labeled, Batarang.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like...
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
The thing he throws, right? Is that what we're talking
about? Yeah. I'm just a little bit slow.
Boomerang. But... All right. So it's a boomerang, but it's a batarang because it's Batman's.
Right. Okay. Right. That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. It was just like one of those weird words that I just couldn't put together. That's so obvious. But yeah, they were typing in something along those lines to get the batarang tattoo. I did it for him. But they ran into the Joker tattoo. So that's one of my favorites too.
I really enjoy that piece. I think it's amazing. We already talked about the anime forearm in my notes here. I do have two throwing up emojis and in filthy. in a good way.
Oh, I understand that.
Trust me. I'm like, yo, that shit is filthy. Okay. And then I did screenshot one because I didn't know how to describe it. This piece right here.
Oh.
A heart and a hand.
That is from the anime Berserk.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Going
that
Berserk.
Yeah. That's the, I believe it's from the manga or something along those lines or something important that has to do with that heart. It's pretty iconic, like, heart, and it has, like, lips and, like, a nose in it. If you, zoom in, you can see those lips in that heart. There was a super big, like, meaning for it that my client had gave me. I actually did that in New York at my dad's house. Every once a month, I like to go to New York and Connecticut to tattoo. But, that was pretty cool. Wow, that's so interesting. That's in your top five.
I love it. It's a top over here. You know, okay. I mean, the color in the red is fantastic. The moons, I think the moons are probably more significant. They probably have a bigger meaning as well. Mm-hmm. But it's just the array of lines, right? You know, that's what really captures. And I'm like, wow, that's really, really dope. You have another piece that's all line work. It was someone with a sleeve and it was like, I don't know how to describe it. It went from here all the way down and it's just like.
Oh, we actually went to school with her as well. If I'm not mistaken, who are you talking about? But if it's all the way from here, it was like a flower and it's like mandala-ish, you know, mandala kind of henna vibe with chandelier and crystal.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was Nicole Kleiman. That was, we graduated with her.
Whoop,
shout out to her.
Maybe if I saw a photo.
Shout out to her.
Respect.
I'm pretty sure that you would know who she is, but I definitely wanted to shout her out anyway because she put her full like trust into me for like doing that whole like sleeve and hooking her up. So it was really nice of her.
That one has just endless amounts of line work. And I'm like, that's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
One of my last favorite ones, and it's just because of the color. You know, we talked about color earlier. Mm-hmm. It's a small one. It's the Gonna Be Aight. You know, Gonna Be Aight. It's like someone's playlist. And it's got the color splatter.
Oh, yeah.
It's got the color splatter. And I'm really curious to how, because with the color splatter, it looks like it's wet paint. You know, it looks like, you know, it starts off strong and then it fades out, but that's how it was supposed to be made.
Yeah. That's like, as soon as you understand how to give that effect, you can do that with anything watercolor look, you know. Actually, a little tip is there's actually bottles of ink that say watercolor on it. So I'm assuming they're kind of like diluted in a way, if you know what diluted is, to give that lighter, more watercolor effect. But see, for me, I kind of just like to go in with regular inks because I don't want it to be diluted. I don't want it to fade through time.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be really pigmented and look really real, but then, you know, just give it that watercolor effect. And I usually freestyle those like watercolors.
Really?
Because
that's
it's
awesome.
So like it makes it more natural and like I would imagine it as though I'm the one who kind of like splattered across it, and then I understand the scientific part of it. Like if I spray it this way, it's gonna go that way, you know, and like kind of evenly spread out the drops and like the splats and everything like that. So I pretty much free, you know, place those for that one.
That one is sick.
About.
Like it really is because
it was
like,
really meaningful to her too. Mm. So
I enjoyed looking at that piece just because it's like, it looks like it's such a complex piece mm-hmm. on a frill. It's so it's a small piece, but it does appear right. as if it was so complex. It kind of it just looks fantastic. Like if someone were to just take that off a piece of paper and mm-hmm. you know put that you did a fantastic job at just like in capturing that body and that. And girl, you're on your way. And then my last favorite one, nice. Obviously, is the brick. You know, because you know brick's gonna be all over, and it's gonna be a fantastic time.
He's a brick.
Hey. So, you just came back from a conference. Congratulations! You out here doing big things. What is this conference that you went to?
Oh man! So that was. I'm still trying to like process everything that happened because it was literally like 2 nights ago that I got back from Miami for 3 days.
You're a warrior.
Man, thanks. I don't know how I do it, but you know, they say tattoo artists don't sleep. So we don't know what sleep is anymore. So yeah. And if you really, really are so passionate about this shit, like you're going to do it. Like you're going to do everything that you want to do to better yourself. Mm-hmm. So like, that's kind of what happened was I saw this opportunity during Art Basel week in Miami. They have that every year. It's kind of like one of their biggest times of the year out there. It's like usually in Wynwood, they have like food festivals and like DJs and music and
good times.
It's just such a beautiful experience. There's like, you know, celebrities that there was someone that we ran into. He was just kind of standing on the street with an afro and like I forgot his name, but like he was like incognito and it was just like the whole part of like Art Basel. Like that's what it's all about. So,
Art Basel. Okay.
My mentor had me saying Art Basel for a while. Yes, I just put him on blast. But yeah, I was over there saying Art Basel. And they're like Art Basel, ooh. Like amongst like artists. I was like, felt so embarrassed. But anyway, yeah, so I actually bought my ticket like super last minute because I was so debating about, you know, if I wanted to go or not. And I had to go all alone too. So I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I've flown alone, but I've never like been to an event like this by myself. So basically, it's a conference. It's a tattoo conference. It was a 3-day thing. And you just, you know, you meet people from Ink Master and people from the Black Ink Crew, things like that. And they speak, you know, the first day everybody mingles and gets to know each other. It's different artists from different states across the whole U.S. Like everybody just comes together. There's like is a purpose, you know, it's a black tattoo experience. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Swiss Premium for actually hosting that and making that like possible. I believe this year was the third one that they had. And he's really trying to like just bring the black community together, you know, when it comes to black tattoo artists, because they have been like, you know, through a lot of, you know, hard times hardship, and like, you know, certain difficulties that, you know, certain other artists, you know, wouldn't deal with. So it's kind of like bringing all these people together, you know, no matter where you're from, and you know, just touching on that, you know, embracing it, embracing each other, and kind of like coming together to like just share each other's art and like share each other's knowledge. And it was just one of the most beautiful things that I have ever experienced in my life, like, you know, seeing them talk up there. I came back so inspired that like literally on the plane ride I drew a whole tattoo design. Like
inspired, not motivated. Inspired. There you go. That's how you do it.
Very important. Yeah.
No, that's awesome. You know, for you to be in a part of an event like that, a collective group like that. Have you ever gone to any conventions?
No, I have not.
Okay.
That is in the works for 2024 for sure. Like,
sweet.
That's my plan. Like what I set out to do for this year with my tattoo career, that's kind of what I did. And then next year, you know, it's all about conventions and guest spots. And that's also why I went to the conference, so that I can...
Guest spots.
So like guest spotting, mm-hmm. In different shops and like staying there for a week or two or even a month, you know, that's what I want to start in 2024.
Well, on your way. I mean, you know, I think it's awesome that you go on the road as well to your clients. You know, you'll go to New York, you said Connecticut, you'll set everything up. Am I being picked up? Yeah, okay. You'll set everything up. And, you know, I've seen one of your reels where you bring like a whole massage table, you know, you set it up. Cleanliness is one of the biggest things that you, you like to take pride in, because, you know, you constantly post on your social media the nightmares of other people's tattoo work, you know, so.
Yeah, that's, it definitely is a nightmare. That's a perfect way to describe it. Some people post, like, there's actually a page that's called, like, Shitty Tattoos or something like that. Like, whoever runs that page, it's cringy, but it's kind of, like, good. And it's helpful to scare away people who don't care about what kind of tattoos they get because they just want the better price. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, it's funny to see, like, you know, and I repost that all the time.
The time. You know, there's a lot of people out there who aren't using gloves. You know, it's kind of... And, you know, as a client, you know, watching you post this, it's good to see as a client because it's like, okay, so she has a good practice. She has good practice. And that's important because, you know, infections are a thing when you get tattooed and you want to avoid all of that at any cost. But, you know, as you said, some people would rather take that lower price for the, you know, the same work, but it's just not going to be as clean. So chill out, guys.
I know some horror stories from people ending up in hospitals and stuff because they want to, you know, be in basements and unsanitary basements at that, you know. Some people, you know, do pretty well under there if they are professionals and sanitary. But other than that, it's kind of scary. I've heard some crazy stories for sure.
It's a shop. We talked about it when Disco Makeup Ari, you know, shop etiquette. Yeah. Etiquette. I felt like I was saying that word wrong. Etiquette. I felt like I was saying that word wrong during our show. I was like, is it etiquette or is it etiquette?
Oh. Wait a second.
Is it etiquette or is it etiquette? I think it's shop etiquette.
You know, the proper people and the classy people, I feel like they're going to say etiquette. But like us, we're like etiquette.
Listen, I make up words on this show all the time. I made up the word diversatility on the show before.
Diversatility. That should be like, up here somewhere.
Trademarked.
Yeah, that should be trademarked.
What
somewhere.
Else is Bettables? Bettables is another one.
What? Bettables? Edibles?
Yeah, Bettables. You know, you get bet on it. It's like, not like edibles, but like.
You can bet on stuff.
Like Lunchables, you know, you can do lunch, you know? So Lunchables, you can do lunch. Bettables, you get bet that I'm going to do that. Bettables. Trademarked.
That's hilarious.
Trademarked the No Man podcast. You know how that goes.
They must be.
One last question here before we transition to tea time. I really feel like this wire is dying on me. Now it's feeling like it's better. Sheesh, right?
Now I sound a little bit better. Yeah. I think it was my angle. I'm not too sure, but...
Okay, sorry. So one last question before we get on to tea time here. I wanted to ask you if there has ever been a piece where, you know, someone may have presented it to you and, you know, you looked at it as a really, really tall challenge, maybe even second guess yourself on whether or not you wanted to take that project on, and then, you know, at the end of the day, you still persisted and moved forward and continued with that project, you know.
So actually, I remember when I first started, I kind of I had this client. She actually went to school with us as well, and she wanted rest in peace to Coach P. Shout out to her. She wanted a memorial piece for her. She was a basketball coach. A women's basketball coach. And I was super nervous because that was like going to be my biggest piece ever starting. And it was also so sentimental and important to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I also knew Coach P myself personally. So I just wanted to do her justice and make her proud also. So it was just a lot going on in my mind. And I still had so much to learn. But this person really trusted me. But, like, I'm that kind of person that I'm not going to turn it down. I'm going to, like, find a way to go through with it, finish it out. And I just, that confidence comes in, I guess, where I'm like, no, if I believe I can do it, I can. If I don't believe I can do it, then I can't. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely one of those people that I'm just going to, like, take not the risk, because it is a risk. But like at the same time, I'm trying to do it as, you know, the proper way at the same time. So I find myself doing that all the time, though. Mm. Like I'll be nervous, but I'm like, that makes me want to do it even more, like, you know, kind of thing. So it ended up coming out pretty well. But
I feel like you'll probably never get over those first, those jitters, you know, the nervous jitters for anyone, you know, no matter how small the piece is, how large the piece is.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, they're permanent. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
You know, she wants to do a fantastic job and, you know, definitely bring your image to life. Mm-hmm. Bring your image to life.
Sometimes people work better under pressure, too. That's a thing. It's a thing.
So, before we transition into tea time, you know, we're going to, I like to give the floor to my guests. If there's anything that you want to leave for the people, Instagram shout out, you know, we're definitely looking forward to see what you do in 2024 because you already rocked 2023. Thanks, man. I'm looking forward to our next session.
Me too.
And, you know, so the floor is yours. Have at it.
All right. So like, am I asking questions?
No. Just anything that
I want to say.
Yeah, before we even get off the air here.
All right. So yeah, just always believe in yourself. Like I was kind of just saying before, if you say you can't, you can't. If you say you can, you can. Like you're going to go after whatever you want to go after if you really want it. And, you know, give yourself grace at the end of the day, no matter what you're doing. And yeah. Yeah, you can do whatever the fuck you want in your life, basically.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining me here. I'm happy that we finally made it happen. Yes. You know, you're a wonderful soul, and there's so much more questions that I could ask. You know, we keep going for hours, but that leaves room for session number two.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna have to find a way to bring the podcast to you during a tattoo session. That's a goal of mine.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Only thing is how do we try to minimize the amount of background noise? Because obviously, bzzz is a noise. So
right. Because it can be just us in there. You know, I could just have the shop to myself. The one day it could be like a Sunday, like now.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing you're gonna hear is my machine.
Exactly.
Instead of like a whole bunch of machines and talking in the background. So I guess we'll figure something out.
We'll figure it out. The Middleman Podcast. We're trying to take it on the road. I'm trying to come to you guys, okay, on the for real. That's a goal for mine in 2024. But with that being said, guys, we're going to transition into tea time, not brought to you by, but inspired by Arizona Iced Tea. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez, signing out.